today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Everybody was playing country western. They had guitars. So I got a Sears Roebuck guitar. But I started to compose as soon as I got one. Before I knew where the chords were or anything. Yeah.
And welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. Hope everybody is doing well and have been enjoying the episodes we have had so far this week. Today we're going to try something a little different, and I'm going to get to that in just 1 minute. But first I want to tell you that even though some of the February new music is in prime time, we're coming to the end of the month here. We've only got 1 day left, and that day only comes up every 4 years. So we're going to start our new music stuff for February in a couple weeks here, and we're going to set the deadline for March new music submissions at Sunday, March 10th. That's right, Sunday, March 10th at midnight. So get it in. We are ready for it for February, so get your picks in. Today I'm going to try to put together a little guide to how to get into the music of an artist with a vast catalog who is very influential and who happened to have been born on this day, February 28th in the year 1939. And the person I'm talking about is John Fahey. Now, you may have heard his name. You may have come across some of his music. You may be a fan. That's great. But I know there are a lot of people who don't exactly know a whole lot about his career. And I've talked to these people over time, so I thought I'd put together a little guide for anybody who might want to try to get into his music a little bit, or maybe just understand the outline of his career, or if you already know some about it and you want to dig deeper, I'll just give you the places you can start. But certainly if people enjoy it and you can think of other artists that you might want us to explore, let us know. There are a lot of artists out there with big careers with whom you're like, I don't know where to even start with this. I'm not talking about something as big as Guided by Voices, of course, but that might take a whole week just to where to get in. But Fahey is influential for many reasons. One, he pioneered a style really called American Primitive Guitar that combined country bluegrass music with blues and also modern classical composers that he admired. And we'll talk in detail about that in a little bit. But he developed a very unique finger-picking style where he often played the bass note with his thumb, played the melody with his fingers, and played it on an acoustic guitar with a very refreshing, earthy sound that really is steeped in all these kind of musics that I mentioned. He was very influential for the entire alt-country movement, in my opinion. A lot of the bands that went back to sort of their roots and, tried to make this a new style of alt-country music were informed by the work of Fahey. He influenced an entire generation of indie rockers, interestingly enough, guitar players from the late 1980s. Early 90s, the classic indie scene. I know that Sonic Youth was a huge supporter of Fahey's music and many bands like that. I can say personally myself that Fahey may be the artist by whom I have the most records and compact discs in my collection. If not, he's up there in the top five for sure. I just counted before I turned the microphone on, and I have 22 different John Fahey albums, along with a pile here. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 compact discs that do not overlap with the records. So now, let me tell you briefly about his life. He was born in Washington, D.C. On February 28th, 1939, as I said. His parents were both musically inclined, interested in music. The family would go to bluegrass and country music concerts, of which there were a lot in the Washington, D.C. area. Early in John's life, he heard Jimmy Rogers doing Blue Yodel No. 7 on the radio and credited that as a moment that really awakened him to the possibilities of music and maybe playing it himself. He had some friends that played guitar. And in 1952, he bought his first guitar for $17 out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. He mail ordered that with money he saved. And began to get into guitar playing and also into listening to records and also into collecting blues records. And he met a man called Richard Spotswood, Dick Spotswood, you may know him as. He's a legendary musicologist, a radio DJ here in Washington for decades. And he sort of took Fahey a little bit under his wing when it came to finding this blues music. They would go on canvassing trips to different places where they would go to black neighborhoods, all kinds of different neighborhoods, knock on the door and ask if people had any records they didn't want or they wanted to sell. And they would find records this way. It's how Spotswood built and one of the most important American record collections there is, I think. And Fahey certainly built up his. And during one of these trips, Spotswood played Fahey Blind Willie Johnson's Please Praise God I'm Satisfied. And Fahey likened that to a religious awakening that changed his life completely. So by the year 1959, had listened to enough blues. He'd done some recording here and there with a guy named Joe Bouchard, and he was ready to make an album on his own. He didn't know how to do that, so he just decided to record it himself. He recorded it in a church and eventually got copies pressed of his own. And in a small number on one side of the record, it said John Fahey. On the other side, it was a nickname that some of his blues friends had given him called Blind Joe Death. And that became kind of a legendary touchstone record. And he later re-recorded parts of it and re-recorded the whole thing for a third time. But its primitive blues stylings are really unlike anything I ever heard. And when I first heard this music, it embraced me. It touched me in a deep way, like I knew things about it already somehow, but it was doing something completely different to me, and it was played in such a way that opened up these big spaces in my brain. And for a long time during my career as a writer, whenever I had a deadline or I had something big or something intense I wanted to write, I would put on John Fahey music. It opened my brain cells up somehow, and being instrumental also didn't distract you with having to worry about lyrics, and it allowed you to seep into a different place in your brain and really activate all that's in there. I got a lot of junk floating around in there, and it really, really helped me activate it, and still does to this day. There are certain classical composers for whom the same thing works. So he released this limited album, and it took him about 3 or 4 years to sell it. And during this time, he had graduated from college here on the East Coast. He moved out to California in 1963 to attend Berkeley. And he was going to study philosophy there, but it didn't really work out for him. John had a contempt, a hatred, you would say, for the Pete Seeger's Weaver's kind of folk music that was college campus based at the time, and despised it. Didn't think it really had anything to do with the real folk traditions of American music. He eventually ended up at UCLA University, where he was studying psychology, among other things, and eventually wrote a master's thesis on the incredible bluesman Charlie Patton, which was published as a book in 1970, and I believe it's still out there somewhere. I can believe you can still find a copy. It by many was considered the definitive text that was put out on Charlie Patton. First album John put out, he named the label Tacoma, because that's where he lived, Tacoma Park, Maryland, after his hometown. And he continued to run Tacoma when he moved to California. One notable thing that happened was he and another fan of the blues, scholar of the blues, rediscovered, as something was happening at the time, the bluesman Buka White. And they found Buka and they recorded an album with him. They put it out on Tacoma thinking it was going to be a big success. And it turns out that the second album that John recorded actually became a little bit bigger seller. And his music was really starting to gain a little bit of recognition. His second album was called Death Chants, Breakdowns, and Military Waltzes. He continued to put out records in 64. He put out another one of what I consider the core of John Fahey's music, Dance of Death and Other Plantation Favorites. He put out a record in 65 called The Transfiguration of Blind Joe Death. In 1966, he put out The Great San Bernardino Birthday Party and Other Excursions. Now, you can find these records today in Tacoma reissued groups. And the number one is called Blind Joe Death. Now, for me, you could start with, there are several very, very good compilations of John Fahey. One I have on compact disc here. It was part of kind of a career revival that happened later in his career. On the Rhino label, it's called Return of the Repressed. It's a two-disc anthology that gives you all the great stuff that you would need from John Fahey. You know, I think it's great to start there. But what I would do is try to find Blind Joe Death. Now, there's a couple of versions out there. There's one that I would recommend that was reissued in 1996. It's called The Legend of Blind Joe Death. And what it encompasses is the original recordings that Fahey made in the church in 1959, sometimes called the gas station recordings, because he worked at an Esso gas station at the time and sold copies of the records while people were filling up their car. And then some of the re-recordings that took place. And those all comprise kind of the classic versions. And when you get a song like In Christ, There Is No East or West, it's absolutely prime John Fahey. He took an Episcopalian hymn and put this incredible country blues stamp on it. And it remains one of my favorite records that I've ever heard. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, Fahey began to branch out. His records got stranger. He occasionally used tape collage. He was influenced by Indian ragas and music similar to that, Tibetan music. He stretched out in these long pieces that were almost like ragas in some sense. There's a beautiful album he made in the mid-70s that really encompasses this with some long, flowing, fantastic music called Fare Forward Voyagers, in parentheses, Soldier's Choice from 1973. That's great. There's also an amazing record from 1971 called America that is just a mind-blowing record. And then there's a record called Voice of the Turtle, probably his most experimental album of the early period of his work. It contains country fiddles, psychedelia, white noise, tape collage, all kinds of these things. And it's got incredible liner notes, if you can find a copy of the record, that talks about his life. In the early 80s, John had moved to Oregon and had gone through some marital issues. At one point in his life, he was diagnosed with Epstein-Barr syndrome, which is a very long-lasting viral infection that's difficult to shake. He dealt with that. Increasingly was playing less and less. He did record some music during this time. It's very uneven, in my opinion. By the year 1986, 85, things had really began to you know, tail off for John. And by the early 90s, he was living in a series of motels in around the Oregon area, around Salem, Oregon. One thing I neglected to mention, and it's a very important part of John's career, is that in 1968, he recorded a Christmas album called The New Possibility, John Fahey's Guitar Solely Christmas album. And he's re-recorded it a couple of times. You see many John Fahey Christmas albums out there, but the original one is the one to get. And it remains one of the most popular Christmas records you could get. And I think it had a lot to do with that and a couple other records. Or another part of John's legacy was that he greatly influenced New Age music to his chagrin. He wasn't a big fan of sort of Wyndham Hill type stuff, but that was an outgrowth too of the things he put together. In 1996, he was the subject of an article by the music writer Byron Coley in Spin Magazine, and it told the story of John's career and how he had ended up where he was. And Byron went out there, met John, and used his expense account to buy John food and some other things, but really beautifully told the story of what had happened to him, where he was, and where his life was at that time. This really changed John's life. He didn't know that he had this fan base among these indie rock musicians, Thurston Moore and a guy called Glenn Jones from a band called Cul-de-Sac. And he began to interact with these people. He got some funding. His records started to be reissued. And he came back and started playing music, but he didn't come back and start playing music the way he did before. He picked up an electric guitar. He used all kinds of noise. He did things to challenge the musicians he was working with, I think, and to mess with them a little bit, but to also try to find something inside of him. And there's a record called The Epiphany of Glenn Jones, and there's a record called The City of Refuge. Both of those, if you listen to them, are a great example of John Fahey's very late style. So he passed away in the year 2001 due to a quadruple, I think, coronary bypass operation combined with years of poor health, his diabetes, and other things. The clock had kind of run out on John. He was a big personality who lived large throughout his life, struggled with alcohol and substance abuse during different times in his life, but left an incredible legacy. No less than four tribute albums were released after John's passing. So that tells you a little bit of something about how influential his music was. And the great guitarist Jack Rose, another guitar player who left us too early, certainly was deeply influenced by Fahey and found a voice on the acoustic guitar that wouldn't have been possible, I don't think, without John. So I hope this helps a little bit if you want to get into John Fahey. But really, I would start with Blind Joe Death, and then I would work on the early albums, Death Chance, Dance of Death, to really kind of understand where he's coming from. And then his whole, you know, mid-70s period is very interesting. And then the 80s and 90s period, even though I collect those records, not something I spend a lot of time listening to, but just the intensity and the beauty of the music that he made during the 1960s really lives on. And his legacy, certainly as a label owner, also has a tremendous impact on the musical landscape that followed. So on the day he would have been 85 years old, just to take a minute to say, here's how I suggest you would get into John Fahey. I should also briefly add, too, that there are two books out there that are very interesting if you ever wanted to do any reading about John Fahey. One is called Dance of Death, The Life of a John Fahey, American Guitarist, written by Steve Lowenthal. And then there's a book that's semi-autobiographical. It's creative fiction, I think, that deals with a lot of incidents from John's life that he wrote, called How Bluegrass Music Destroyed My Life. So maybe read the first one, and then when you're reading his book, you can understand some of the insights. There are two documentary films out there, and there may be more at this point. I just know of one that was made prior to 2013, and then one by James Cullingham called In Search of Blind Joe Death, The Saga of John Fahey. I'd like to go out with a little music by John Fahey, and we're going to hear a track from his second record, Death Chants, Breakdowns, and Military Waltzes, recorded in 1963. And we're going to hear a song titled Stomping Tonight on the Pennsylvania-Alabama Border. There's a quote from John Fahey here that's republished on The Source of All Human Knowledge. And I'd like to read it to you now because it explains, I think, very well from his point of view, how he put these songs together and what his influences were. So, quote, the opening chords are from the last movement of Vaughan Williams' Sixth Symphony. It goes from there to a Skip James motif. Following that, it moves to a Gregorian chant, Desiree. It's the most scary one in the Episcopal hymn books. It's about the Day of Judgment. Then it returns to the Vaughan Williams chords, followed by a blues run of undetermined origin, then back to Skip James, and so forth. So we'll close now off at our little meditation on John Fahey, rest in power, with Stomping Tonight on the Pennsylvania-Alabama Border. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. You to seep into a different place in your brain and really activate all that's in there. I got a lot of junk floating around in there, and it really, really helped me activate it. It still does to this day.